Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have on the show Benjamin Etherton. He's CEO over at Spruce. Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Adam. It's great to be here. Appreciate your time.
All right, Ben. So big topic today. So we're going to be talking about CPG brands and really the challenges of launching them. And I know that one of the things that you're doing over at Spruce is working with many companies. And I guess just to get us kicked off here is like, what got you interested in CPG? Like, I feel like there's some people that are the service side of things. Some people want physical products. Like talk to me about CPG. What got you into it?
Yeah. So basically, I've got kind of a weird background. I've started a bunch of small companies over the years. The first one was a seafood business. We actually caught crabs in Maryland on the Chesapeake Bay. Don't hold this against me, but that company was called Men with Crabs. And our slogan was, we catch them so you don't have to. And maybe not my proudest moment, but, you know, early on in my teenage years, that was a fun one.
Oh, So you were a teenager when you did that. So you've always been an entrepreneur then, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenging but rewarding path to go down. You learn something from
it's painful,
everything.
Man. It's painful.
It is.
You started young, though. That's awesome. I mean, sometimes I interview a lot of people, and what I'm talking to, they tell me about their first things. They're normally like, oh, you know, I sold bubble gum or baseball cards, or I was the comic book kid. That was my niche, quote unquote, in our adult year terms. But for you to have that start, I think it's interesting. But go ahead, please.
Yeah. No, it was fun. You know, I was basically forced to either work in my father's office or do something different. And I pivoted to catching crabs, but ended up also doing an online mag for adventure travel. We had a couple hundred thousand readers. It was all extreme sports and things, different contributing journalists from around the world, and brand partnerships with Kelty and Garmin and North Face and a bunch of companies, which was fun. Helped invent the first frozen yogurt vending machine company called Frobot. And then I got into the energy world and worked in corporate energy doing consulting services. I worked my way up within that organization and ended up helping running it for the last four-ish years I was there, built it out and improved our numbers quite a bit. We ended up managing around $2 billion in energy-related projects around North America. And I got out about 2.5 years ago and had a really strict non-compete in the energy industry. So I had to pivot again and figure out my next phase of life. And with a wife and one-year-old twins at the time, I knew I had to do something. So serendipitously, I fell into impact-related projects and started a management consulting firm called Spruce, which is what we're talking about today. And basically, we do fractional executive services. So we'll step into various companies and serve for anywhere from 5 to 40 hours a week on an engagement. So we'll juggle somewhere between 1 to sometimes up to 8 different companies at a time on a 6-month contract initially. That might get extended, or we might wrap up the project within that period of time. And they're all primarily healthcare and climate related projects following the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and trying to do some good in the world. So we like to think that our missions matter as well.
Mm. So why CPG? Was it just happenstance? Like those are the clients that came to you, or?
Yeah. So probably one of the interesting projects we stumbled upon was a group approached us about their hemp business. They had started a few years before they approached us. They had one of the first licenses in the state of Maryland to grow hemp, and they realized pretty quickly that they suck at growing it. They had a lot of disease and plants were dying and things like that, but their team was made up of a bunch of physicians and scientists and engineer types. And they realized pretty quickly that one thing that they were good at was creating a really efficient and higher quality extraction process. So instead of using supercritical CO2 or ethanol extraction, they actually invented and patented a system that uses no harmful solvents throughout the extraction process. So, so they retain a high percentage of the original cannabinoids, flavonoids, terpenes, et cetera, and cannabis and hemp-derived material, and maintain a lot of the original whole plant compounds, and create a super efficacious product or extract. So CPG, they decide to launch a retail brand around that extract that they create, and then launch pills because they don't believe in smokables as a medical use case. So we do predominantly pills, supplements, and topicals, lotions, things of that nature.
Is there anything that surprised you as you were kind of going through this space, like any challenges, like whether it was, I don't know, raising money, like differentiation, like, you know, a lot of things in that space of CBD and creating these products, like anything that surprised you?
Yeah, 100%. To be honest, I was very skeptical of the whole industry when I first got approached with it. I actually turned them down the first time that they asked me to help them out, because I always associated CBD with sketchy gas stations and, you know, pills that you saw right on the counter beside other pills, and didn't want to align with that. But as I started to really dive into it, I learned all the actual benefits, and I started talking with some of the consumers and patients that were using their pills. And these were minor miracles that I was hearing about, you know, people with lupus and different things, claiming that these products were really giving them a better quality of life. So started to fall into it, ended up taking an equity position myself in the organization and becoming one of the majority owners and CEO, helping operate that business. But it's certainly been extremely challenging to raise money in this space. Number one, just the investing world right now is pretty challenging in general. But, you know, CBD and cannabis related businesses are obviously, with all their regulation and things like that, pretty challenging to raise money in.
Yeah, I figured. And I mean, that space, I mean, I feel like you have to figure out like your branding, your marketing, and really your value proposition versus some of the other, just the competition out there. Because I mean, I've seen a lot in it. What do you think makes this brand, you know, have some potential going forward? Because obviously, I mean, you have experience as an entrepreneur, not only that, but to make the investment and then to take on that type of, you know, commitment, like this must be a winner for you. You're definitely picking a winner here, or else you wouldn't be putting your time into it. Like, what do you think makes this one a little bit different or stick out?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, really the biggest differentiators that stuck out to me were, one, they got their extraction process federally patented with a pretty broad patent on the method and extraction system and things like that. So there's definitely value in that IP itself. Mm-hmm. But hearing all that feedback from their patients, if you will, or the consumers of their products with how well it worked really piqued my interest. So we've actually also expanded to some pretty unique SKUs where instead of just doing like 25 milligram CBD extract or something of that nature in a soft gel or hard shell capsule, we are one of the first cannabis or hemp brands to do duo capsules or capsule and capsule concepts. So I'm sure you've heard of the brand Ritual or Seed or some of these other CPG companies that people see and hear a lot about, where basically they have a pill inside of a pill. And the inner pill theoretically dissolves a little bit further into your digestive tract, but it also allows you to have both liquid components and dry powder components inside of a pill together. So we're one of the first brands to do capsule and capsules with our internal being 25 milligram CBD extract from our patented extraction process. And then the outside, we're doing a mixture of nootropics. So it's like a supplement blend where we're combining lion's mane and magnesium or whatever the case might be for various ailments. And we have one that's geared towards sleep, one that's geared towards pain relief, one that's geared towards mental clarity and focus and things like that, which has definitely helped differentiate us. We also are going down a pretty unique path, and this is one of the synergies that we were able to create between this company, Natural, N-A-T-R-U-L, is how we've branded it, and another company called Akizo that I'm a member of, where we're pretty passionate about the addiction space and trying to help people with addictions. So The Kizo was our first entree into that. They invented an absorbable implant that slow releases naltrexone for over 6 months into opioid use disorder treatment patients. So they're working really hard at getting FDA approval on that end. They were funded by the NIH with over $12 million to help, you know, proceed through the FDA process with stage 1, 2, and 3 human clinical trials and things of that nature. But what we realized was even before you can get an implant like that, you still need to wean off of the drug itself. So you have to go through withdrawal, which is a painful process. So what we've heard and have been studying and are now working on clinical trials for is using our CBD extract for withdrawal symptoms. So helping addicts, alcohol and opioid addicts withdraw with less pain. So that's one of the clinical trials that we're working on as well, with hopefully partners at the NIH and NIAAA and some other groups.
Wow. As I follow your entrepreneurial career in this interview, at least, and I'm thinking about this, I'm like, man, you like to be first. You like to pioneer. You like to do new things. Going back to whether it's the original frozen yogurt machine or a robotic or, you know, capsule or some of these other things that you're describing that really you want to be first in a space or take a space and take it and add another piece of value to it by, you know, progressing it in a different way or coming at it from a different angle. Like, what keeps you interested like that? Like, what keeps you going? I think it's interesting that you have this different take, I feel, in entrepreneurship. What keeps you going?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure people use this term as well, but I've always phrased it organized chaos, right? It's
just, glutton, you know, for punishment. That's another way to say it. No, I'm just
right. Yeah. No, genuinely, it's a beautiful thing when your brain is constantly challenged. You know, it's one thing to run into the monotony of life and, you know, just keep doing the same exact thing over and over and over. Mm-hmm. But my days are pretty chaotic, right? They're learning how to prioritize one thing over another and deal with, you know, fire drills and things of that nature. Yeah. Things that just pop up, you have to jump into. And I love learning new things. I think one of the biggest value propositions that we bring at Spruce on the consulting side is when we enter into engagements, we always tell our clients, look, we are not an expert in what you do, number one, let alone we don't think we're necessarily an expert in anything. We just think that we know a little bit about a lot of things, and we're looking at things from a slightly different perspective than you might be. And we might be able to allocate some resources or concepts with how to properly run your organization from a strategy, business development, sales, whatever it might be, perspective that correlates from selling crabs to developing opioid use disorder treatments, right? Like there's really weird synergies that happen when you look at things from a different lens.
Yeah, I see you kind of like the glue that brings these other things together and ideas, because there's different, I just think there's different types of entrepreneurs. Like myself, I'm in my lane. Like I can't, you said you're CEO of this and then consulting and something else. I don't have the mental bandwidth, man. I can do this podcast. I can run this media company. But if you told me to do anything else, I can barely tie my shoes at this point, man. It seems to me like you have that ability to bring, you know, ideas and people together, right? And you see a different picture maybe than some others would see. And even like linking natural and the other company you mentioned, like even in linking those together to solve a problem, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I genuinely think everyone brings value. And there are certain people that have certain skill sets. And I'm positive you can probably juggle even more than you realize you can. And you probably already do, Adam, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's what I enjoy. It's the niche that I've found. And
by the way, I'm going to correct you on that one. Anybody listening, don't send me no emails. I don't want to help you do anything. You just listen and hit the subscribe button. I don't want any of it. You keep it for yourself. I got enough. Oh, no. Just joking there, Ben. But any other projects you're working on, just in general, any like passion projects or something that aren't like, you know what I mean, your day to day? Like what else do you get into?
Yeah, so I talked a little bit about Akizo. Natural Spruce is the consulting entity. My multi-year non-compete did expire in the energy space. So, of course, I've been pretty blessed with having a couple of people reach out to me on that end and just see if there's something we can do to help them out on a one-off basis. So we've definitely been taking on some of those projects, and those are always fun. It feels good when you're able to work with a corporate entity that maybe doesn't have the best energy strategy and assist them with improving their financials via bettering their electric and natural gas purchasing strategies for negotiating their rates with third-party suppliers, let alone doing efficiency and sustainability projects for them and starting to talk with them about ways that they can actually create a greener world via solar or wind or whatever the case might be, anaerobic biodigesters and all this fun stuff. So that's always fun. I also feel super blessed being able to work with my wife's family. They were, of course, super supportive when I decided to split off and start my own thing. So they were one of my early clients. They are a Scandinavian family that has been operating in the U.S. markets for a while and Brazil as well. And they run manufacturing companies. So I've been able to get a little involved with some of their manufacturing assets. But my mother-in-law, this amazing business leader, decided years back with her family to get into the offshore wind industry in the U.S. markets. And they ended up developing what is now known to be the first dedicated offshore wind training center in North America. And it's a women-owned small business founded in the state of Maryland. And it's supporting the offshore wind markets, renewable energies, workforce development, and all of that. So I've been able to get really integrated in that organization and help out with taking people that want to transition into the renewable space and getting them skilled up with the right certificates to be able to work in that.
Wow, what an amazing story. What's your mother-in-law's first name only?
Yeah, it's Katarina.
Katarina, you are invited on this show anytime if you want to tell that story, because that is super interesting, and I'd love to bring it to our audience. So you can pass that along to her, Ben. So I'm serious on that one. That'd be amazing. What an amazing story.
Yeah, she's an awesome human.
So Ben, this is about the time we have for this particular interview. If somebody wants to learn more about Spruce or connect with you and really any of the projects we talked about, like how do people follow your journey? How do they connect?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I am on LinkedIn. I actually gave up social media, unfortunately, years ago, which tends to be most people's easiest way to connect, but it allows me to focus on more important things like business and family. But I am on LinkedIn for professional reasons, so you can feel free to look me up there, Benjamin Etherton on LinkedIn. Again, CEO of Spruce, should be pretty findable. You can always email me at Ben, Ben, at TOSPRUCE.com, Ben@2spruce.com.
Fantastic. And for everybody listening, we'll leave that in the show notes so that you can just head right on over and check out Ben's LinkedIn page. And speaking of everyone listening and the audience, if you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, this is your invitation. Hit that subscribe button. This is a daily show. We're bringing you new interviews each and every day, and we don't want you to miss any of them. And if you're a long-term listener and haven't left us a review yet, please get that review in there. You know, we sure do appreciate them. And Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's really been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Adam.